Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who are having great success today. We're joined by Mr. Charlie Gilkey, an author, entrepreneur, philosopher, Army veteran, and renowned productivity expert. His new book is Start Finishing, How to Go From Idea to Done. I certainly like the sounds of that. And Mr. Gilkey, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks so much for having me.
And you're most welcome. Thanks for coming out. So for starters, what is the difference between interruptions and distractions, and how do we manage each type? That is a great place to start today.
All right. So the difference between interruptions and distractions is that interruptions are a being coming into your space and literally grabbing onto your shirt and really getting your attention, whereas distractions are things that you allow yourself to do. So for instance, YouTube, Netflix, email doesn't run into your room and grab your shirt and say, hey, I'm hungry, right? We always allow ourselves to go to those things. And that's a critical point, because when people think about where their attention is going, a lot of times they lump interruptions and distractions together, but they're two completely different things that require different approaches. The commonality of both of them, though, is that learning to block the entry point by which you're interrupted or distracted is the way ahead. So for instance, once someone runs in the door, you know, your coworker comes in and taps you on the shoulder, you're already fighting an uphill battle to reclaim your attention. So it's easier to block the entry point, you know, maybe close your door, maybe put a sign on the door that says do not disturb or some such. And with distractions, usually what that boils down to is limiting the technology that's around you, because that tends to be in our modern age of working where so many of the distractions come from. So you can't go to, say, YouTube or Netflix if you don't have internet access or if you don't have a computer. And so you can really think about, like, what is the entry point to that interruption or distraction, and how can I block that so that I don't end up in that uphill battle to reclaim my attention.
And that is some awesome information to kick things off here today. Now, why is managing interruptions from your boss tricky but doable?
Well, it's tricky because unlike coworkers or maybe family members, your boss has a large say on your economic livelihood. If you just shut your door on your boss enough, you end up not having a door to shut. And so there's some nuance there, because there is that power dynamic. And what often happens, though, is we end up in upside conversations with our bosses and managers. And a really good way to start having conversations about minimizing interruptions from your boss is to remind them that really you're trying to actualize their priorities, and you're actually aligned in the work that you're trying to do, but their interruptions are actually keeping you from doing the thing they most want you to do. And that's always a point to come back to. It's not necessarily about reclaiming your time and getting your boss out of your face in a way. It's about reminding your boss that what you're actually trying to do is do the work they most want you to do.
Certainly makes a lot of sense. Good stuff there. Now, how do we actually go dark, if you will, with our coworkers and when working at home with our partner, kids, and pets?
All right. So going dark is just the idea of going into a place where you're not interruptible. And so it kind of comes from my military background of just like when communications go dark, you can't find someone. So you have to sort of look at this in two different ways. Let's talk about on the professional side first. One of the reasons it's really important to have the going dark conversation with your boss first is because if she agrees with it, it's much easier to get your coworkers on board, because boss said it was fine. So if you negotiate with the boss that Thursday afternoons are your power hours and you're just going to take over the unused office space, or excuse me, the unused conference room, and just get some stuff done but not be at your desk and not be by the water cooler, and your boss agrees to that, it's much easier to tell your coworkers the same thing, because then if they interrupt you, if they try to get in on it, they're actually going against what the boss says needs to happen. So you get that sort of approval and buy-in, and then you can do largely what you want. So again, you start with your boss, then you negotiate that with coworkers. And what I've found in the organizational work that I've done is that's actually a really welcome relief for so many coworkers to know that there's some time that they can just go do the work, and then there are other times in which there could be common hours by which people communicate and coordinate. Because I think too many of us are sort of wrapped up into too many meetings or the all-day virtual meeting, which is email or Slack or things like that, which is essentially what happens. So on the professional side, you always start with the boss, get that approval, and then work your way down to really ask for what you need. On the personal side with family, that could be trickier, and a lot of times that's about managing space in the sense of, for instance, if you work from home or you're a remote worker and your kids are in your space at a certain time, you need to negotiate with your partner or with childcare such that there are periods of time which they only can interrupt you if there's a real emergency. And the trick of working from home a lot of times is we and the people around us don't treat it the same as if we went to an office. So, for instance, for kids, you know, you'll have that sort of random kid come and like, hey, mom, where's the milk? Well, the milk is in the same place it's always been, but really, like, they wouldn't call you up or text you up and ask you where the milk is. There's that convenience of being at home that really make people confused about that. So it's our job as remote workers or people who work from home to set up those boundaries and to set up those periods of times where it's just like, look, if, you know, from 9 to 12 in the morning is when I do my work, you're plenty taken care of. You don't need me. Only contact me if there's a real emergency, and where the milk is not an emergency. That's a harder conversation with children, obviously children and pets, because, you know, pets, but with the adults in your house, I think there's ways you can work around that. And what I've also found in doing this work is that, again, it's a welcome relief for people to know that there are these spaces to where they can really focus on the things that matter to them. And then there are other spaces where they need to cover down and start that coordination.
Really some awesome information so far here today. And we've been speaking with Mr. Charlie Gilkey. He is the author of the new book, Start Finishing, How to Go From Idea to Done. And he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, continuing on, when all else fails, can we lock ourselves out digitally? Talk to us about that. What's your thought there?
Yeah, so you're right. It's a major problem. And I encourage people to go through what I call successive elimination, which means you don't go from your full tech suite, you know, with a smartphone and tablet and computer to just nothing. You don't make that big jump, but you start successively removing things. So maybe it's that you need to start working with your office, or excuse me, with your phone in another room, which, by the way, has been shown to both increase our productivity and increase our functional IQ, just having our phone in a different room. And so that might be the first things you do. Like, for this period of time, I'm just going to put my phone in another room. That doesn't work. Maybe you need to have a application blocker on your computer. My preference and my recommendation is Cold Turkey Blocker, because it blocks you both out of applications and websites. So if you know what your distractions are, you know what your interruptions are, you can, excuse me, your distractions are, you can selectively say, you know what, I don't want to go to Amazon. I don't want to go to New York Times. I don't want to go to YouTube, Facebook, wherever your things are. And I don't want to open that other application, which could be a game, during that period of time, and you literally can't do it. You know, then you would successively eliminate it. That's not working. Then you go a bit deeper. Maybe you need to have a workstation or a computer that actually doesn't have access to the internet. Makes it really hard to go to those internet distractions when you don't have access to it. And believe it or not, there was a time in which we did a lot of work without access to the computer, without access to the internet. It is possible, right? We figure it out when it becomes super important. And so you can do two different ways. You can just shut your Wi-Fi off, or I know people who have just had problems with distractions that have had to take the Wi-Fi card out of their laptops, out of their computer, so that computer is where they go to do deep work, and they don't have to fight the distraction. And then the last thing that you can do is go super old school, and maybe there's a old school word processor or a computer that can only really run Microsoft Word if you're a writer or whatever you are. And you just successively eliminate till you get to the point to where you can't actually click that first thing that gets you there, because that's the trick, Eric. Once you're fighting that second click, it's too late. Your attention's already gone. Your focus is already gone. So we have to think about, how do we block our ability to make that first click so that we don't end up upside down?
Another question for you. Talk to us about the surprisingly smart power of dumb tech.
Yeah. So dumb tech is just technology that's not connected to the internet. And so, for an example, I wrote the about 90% of start finishing on an Alpha Smart Neo 2, which is a late 90s word processor. It's a keyboard that's got a, let's see, it's like a 6-inch by 2-inch LCD screen on it where I can see 6 lines of type at a time. I had to transfer the text to my computer and everything, but I would take it and I would go down to the coffee shop. And in that particular moment at the coffee shop, I really had only 2 options. I could either write or sit there and look like a dummy for 2 hours before I went home. And most of the time I ended up writing as opposed to just sitting there looking at the ceiling. Whereas if I would have had, you know, my laptop, I was like, well, you know, I'm not really feeling like writing, so maybe I could check some email, maybe I can do some social media, maybe I can, you know, see what the team needs in Asana and Slack. But Dumb Tech is really powerful because it only allows you to do that thing. And for instance, a lot of people who do creative work and need to get into a flow need to listen to music. So they're like, well, I need my smartphone for my music. Actually, you don't. iPods are still available for sale. You can still get them from pawn shops. And it may just need to be that we need to roll back a decade or, you know, a decade or 15 years to get back to that technology that only did that one function that we needed it to do so that we can use technology in the right way. Because again, many of us listening today are old enough to remember those days where you used to go to a computer to do a specific function. And then once you were done with that function, you went on and did something else, right? So if you were a writer or if you're in college or whatever, you usually transcribed your paper onto the computer, you printed it out, and then you left the computer lab or you left the computer. It wasn't this sort of omnipresent, all-access device that was able to grab our attention. So sometimes, especially if you have ADHD tendencies or if you're really stressed, Dumb Tech can be really great because it just limits the decision fatigue, it limits the willpower fights that you'll get into, and it makes sure that you focus on doing the work that that particular tool is designed to do.
Really some great tips and some great information here. And if you're looking to be productive, this is certainly a great place to start with the book, Start Finishing, How to Go from Idea to Done. Fantastic. Before you go, Mr. Gilkey, any closing thoughts, a word, a tip, anything else you'd like to share as we conclude today?
Great. So my closing thought is just to remind folks that I want people to focus more on progress on the stuff that matters than just the mere motion that can be sometimes a part of just the modern way of working. We click the email or we send the emails, we rock the to-do list, and at the end of the week, we didn't push the most important stuff forward. So I want people to pivot around that and understand that it's by finishing those projects that we create the bridge into from our current life to the life we want to live. So I just want to remind people of that. And if you're interested in the book, go to startfinishingbook.com. You'll be able to see more about it, download a sample chapter, and really get in on the conversation.
And that certainly works. Again, Mr. Gilkey, all the best, and thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. It certainly was our pleasure.
Thanks. Have a great day.
And you as well. We've been speaking with Mr. Charlie Gilkey. He is an author, entrepreneur, philosopher, Army veteran, and renowned productivity expert. His new book is Start Finishing, How to Go from Idea to Done. And for all the details, visit startfinishingbook.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.